Okay, thanks. I'm not sure why I was asked to do this, but he had to find a department head from somewhere, I guess. But so I'll do my best. So I'm coming at it from a little different perspective, as both a department head and as a researcher, because I've been involved in some of these as a researcher as well. And I know there's other department heads here, and there's people from a lot of different universities. So some of what I say may not be the same as your experiences, because different places are different. And I think that may be important later on in the discussions. But I just thought I'd start by telling you my experiences with some of these programs so far. So this is where I'm coming from. I was involved in in 2008, when Specialty Crop Research Initiative first started. We were lucky enough to get a planning grant that year, and I was one of the collaborators in that. A couple of years later, Emily Hoover in Minnesota and I were co-PIs on an e-extension project, and so I've been involved in that. I was a panel reviewer in 2012, and that's a lot of work, and but I learned a lot, so it was a good experience. And then just this past year, we got funded for a larger grant to work on high tunnels on berry crops. So, and then as a department head, I have to sign off on all the grant proposals, so I see who else is applying for these and who gets them. And there's a number of other ones within Penn State doing this as well, but these are just the ones that I have direct involvement in. So when I first heard about SCRI, I was pretty excited, because this was the first time horticulture was really going to have any money. And I remember talking to our dean about this, and he wasn't very impressed. You know, $30 million, you know, it's peanuts. And it's increased some, but still, it's pretty low. And I don't think there's enough money in there to really influence hiring decisions by colleges. When you compare it to some of these other agencies that have, I'm not sure those numbers are totally correct, I looked it up on the web, but they're a little bit different than us. So when they're looking at hiring a molecular biologist, or you know, at Penn State we have institutes and they have money, and they sort of drive a lot of the hiring decisions, at least for research, and they're looking at areas that have a lot of money to compete for, and we just don't show up on the radar with the amount of money we have. So I don't know if it's really influenced hiring decisions at all, at least not at Penn State. But I think there have been some positive impacts. And the reason I put this picture up here is that one of the projects that was funded in Pennsylvania was on mechanization of orchards. And so we've actually accomplished quite a bit with that. I'm not directly involved with that, but I am a pomologist, so I've been keeping an eye on it pretty closely. But we do have more money now than we had before Specialty Crop Research Initiative. It's definitely, at least at Penn State, it has enhanced collaborations among different disciplines. All of a sudden, disciplines that didn't care at all about horticulture were interested because there was some money available. And this is a great example here that ag engineering jumped right in, and they've now been involved in several different projects funded by these programs. Also the social sciences. And if we hadn't been, at first I didn't think having social sciences was important, but I've changed my mind. Because I also have an extension background, and so I'm interested in getting this information out to the stakeholders. And if we hadn't been forced to put a social scientist on there, we wouldn't have. But he had a whole different skill set than we did, and we were able to generate information. He knew how to do surveys and how to analyze them, and we were able to get information that's changed how we deliver our extension programs. So it's spilled over into other commodities besides just what this was focused on. So I think it was a good idea in looking back at it. It does definitely attract researchers from other disciplines. And we, for instance, we had weed sciences. They weren't working at all on horticultural crops. They were all in the crop and soil science department. And all of a sudden, they decided snap beans weren't too different than soybeans. So they, I don't think they got funded, but they did submit a proposal. So at least, and as a result of that, they've been able to get some money through our Vegetable Growers Association to do weed control work in vegetables, and they weren't interested in that at all before this. So I think it's had some what I found is if you want people to collaborate, just hang some money out there and they come, you know. It's sort of like a pheromone trap. I think that the horticulture industries have actually benefited more than horticulture departments, because we've had some money, but because it's attracted people who normally wouldn't work on horticultural crops, I think the industry has benefited. And I think a good example of that is one of the first projects that was funded on mechanization and fruit crops. Carnegie Mellon got most of the money. And they never worked on apples before. I mean, it was pretty bizarre. I was involved a little bit in that just because I was interested. But it was kind of amazing how they thought they could grow apple trees. But the other thing I learned is that we have trouble competing with somebody like Carnegie Mellon. They have staff that all they do is write grant proposals. So the scientists show up, meet with these staff, give them ideas. The staff know how to fill out all the forms and do all the work. And I'm not sure we can compete with that. You know, they have staff set up to help them write grant proposals and within the departments, and we don't have that. So it was kind of an eye-opener to see how they do it. The other thing is I think that industries that and universities that have the ability to get matching funds are an advantage. And something we have in Pennsylvania that I didn't have at the other couple of universities I've worked at is the Department of Agriculture that funds research. So PDA actually has money to fund research, and we can use that money as match for some of these. And so other states I've worked in didn't have that. So I think we have an advantage there. We also have some counties that are really tied into agriculture. So Adams County is where Gettysburg is located. That's where the primary fruit producing region of the state is. And they decided that they needed to, they wanted to maintain agriculture. So they've put money into agricultural research, and we've been able to use that as matching money as well. So it's really important to have sources of matching money. And because of that, over the last, like from 2008 to 2010, Pennsylvania ranked fourth in receiving SCRI funds. A lot of that didn't go to us. A lot of it went to Carnegie Mellon, but it came into the state. But I also have some concerns. I think that the larger commodity groups that have money are probably going to get, they have more money for match, they have more political influence. And we're lucky in our state, we have some growers who are politically connected nationally, and I think that helps us. But I'm kind of concerned about states that have small horticulture industries. Are they going to be able to compete? So they may have to tie in with some of the bigger states. The other thing we've noticed in our college is that some of our faculty have very low, the amount of money they get in their salaries from the federal government, so the university can play with this. But if they have mostly federal funding for their salaries, they can't use that as a match. So we have to play with it or do some other things. But I think some states probably have a higher percentage of salaries coming from the federal government than others. And so they may be sort of a disadvantage. The other thing is different universities have, different capabilities to provide match. I mean, I'm lucky in our department, or in our college, we still get some graduate student assistantships from the college, and I know some places don't. And I've used those as match quite a bit. So faculty come to me and they're looking for match. We can use their salary to some extent, but we can also use graduate student support. So, and I've also found that my role as a department head is to work more closely with industry groups to make them aware of these programs and the need for match. And I've actually been able to get the vegetable growers to set aside, they give us some money every year for research, but they put out a call for proposals and they decide what they want to fund. But I've been able to get them to put aside a proportion of it that might be used for matching funds. and it's worked. So so I found that it's important for the department head or for somebody from the department to work with these commodity groups pretty closely to make them aware of how the process works, and that they can stretch their money considerably by providing match. So Tom gave us some suggested topics I might want to address, so I hopefully won't run out of time. The overhead has always concerned me, and I think Tom should be dealing out the overhead, but I know he's understaffed, and he just complained to me about it out there. But we're understaffed, too. So they send all the money to the lead institution. The lead institution takes out overhead. Then they send out subcontracts, and everybody takes out overhead. When you get all done, about half the money's gone. So it'd be nice if USDA could send it directly to everybody and eliminate that first subtraction of indirect costs. But the other thing is that we're forced to be multi-institutional, multidisciplinary. That means you have a lot of different people involved, and by the time you get done dividing up the money, nobody gets very much. So there's not even there's not enough money to support a graduate student in a lot of cases. So that's something that's kind of concerned me, that you end up, it's a lot of work to put these things together, and then nobody really has a whole lot of money to work with at the end. And the other thing is that at the department level, in some places at least, it's put a lot of stress on our staff to just to manage all these funds. And there were, fortunately, this is less burdensome than some of our state agencies. And but I've actually told our faculty that I prefer that we were not the lead institution, because we just don't have this financial support staff to do it. Now, at other places, maybe there's less, maybe it's done at the college level rather than at the department level. But at least at the department level, there's only so many of these we can handle. And there's not enough overhead to pay somebody to do it. So it really stretches the staff. So he asked me to address some questions about how the money might be allocated at Tom's level, I guess. But I guess for a while, I think Dr. Beachy's idea was to fund things in advance, and he kind of was hoping to have more money. I never thought that was a good idea, because the assumption is that you're going to get more money, and if you don't, you're in trouble. So I guess I tend to be more fiscally conservative, and I'd rather not do that. I'd rather allocate the funds we have available and not allocate too much, because if you allocate too much, the next year you may not have enough money to fund anything, and you'll have excellent proposals that just can't be funded. So I guess that's my personal opinion on that. The question about whether we should be, whether we should have large grants, few large grants or many smaller grants, or maybe even individual investigators. I think probably there needs to be a balance of those, and I'm not sure what that balance should be. One of the things, that at Penn State, we're big enough and we have enough interdisciplinary strength that we can probably put together teams that can address a lot of these problems within our institution. And other places maybe can't. So I guess if you don't force us to go to the universities, the big guys are going to have a real advantage. But I feel frustrated, too, because I'm at one of those institutions that can do it. And I feel, I wish I could do it that way, keep it all in-house, because it'd be a lot easier just to work on campus than to have to be involved across the country. So some of this I've already talked about. I don't think it's had a huge impact on my faculty, these programs. They are involved in them, but I don't see anybody just jumping for joy that we have it. I think a lot of horticulture, all the easy problems have been solved, and the ones left are tough. And a lot of times, I work with a perennial crop, and 5 years isn't very much time. And so a lot of these grants don't last long enough to really solve a problem. So I think we need to have an opportunity to renew proposals, at least apply for it. And I already mentioned that, at least in our case, a lot of the money doesn't come to horticulture. We get a big grant, but most of it goes to other disciplines. And I think it's good for the horticulture industries that research is being done, but it doesn't necessarily help our department very much. And I think I've pretty much already summed up most of this. Some of it, I think the faculty with heavy teaching appointments may feel a little bit disenfranchised by some of these things, because, and especially the ornamentals industries, because that's one area I've totally struck out on, is getting the green industry to support research and extension activities. And so there's no opportunities for much matching funds from them. And I don't know if other states are that way or not, but the fruit growers have been great, but I know them. The vegetable growers have been good, but the green industry just doesn't seem to want to invest. So I feel like they're at a big, the ornamentals people are at a big disadvantage. So I guess that's about all I got.
Good.
So.
Okay. Questions for Richard?